Greetings, everyone. It is now time for Marked Safe. Tales of your very favorite and most beloved disasters. On Marked Safe, we discuss events and details that some may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Please listen responsibly and stay safe. And now, here with your hosts, Brianne and Melanie, this is Marked Safe.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How's everybody doing?
Well, we went from the flu to Aria having strep, so I'm tired. I'm tired of it all.
Why do you have biblical plagues happening to your family?
I think it's the dolls, man.
I'm glad you're realizing that, because I think it is too.
And I don't know if it's like, you know, like if like you hear lice and your head starts itching, mm-hmm. It's like Aria has strep and my throat has been so scratchy. So I'm like,
oh gosh,
I hope I don't get it. But they also just harvested all the sugar cane in our area and they light the fields on fire. So the air quality here has been like probably the worst times to have strep is when like your little neighborhood's on fire.
Yeah, Adelaide's had COVID all week, and I seem to have spent several days in a very small residence with three COVID-positive people and escaped unscathed, knock on all the wood. Technically, I should be out of the woods now, but I wake up every morning and I've got a little bit of gunk in my lungs because the weather's changing, and I'm like, oh God, it's got me.
Yeah.
But then I'm fine in a couple hours, so I feel you.
Yeah, I couldn't. The COVID in small quarantine that's rough.
Yeah. It's, we did curse ourselves after that last episode. Melanie, stop it. Oh, okay.
Well, spooky season's over, so we're good now.
You just made that up.
I'm manifesting.
Okay. We're manifesting a lot right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, would you like to give me your unhinged bracket of the week?
Yes. No nonsense. Just kidding. No. The nonsense bracket.
Yeah. Full of nonsense. Brimming with nonsense.
This week, it's geese versus pants with no pockets.
Geese? Are you kidding me? I love geese.
Oh, look.
I loved geese. Here we go. I loved geese before it was cool, first of all. I have loved Canadian geese my entire life.
I had no idea.
For whatever reason, geese are kind of a meme lately. I don't know why that is, but I'm a hipster goose lover. I've been a friend of Canadian geese my whole life. I think they are very misunderstood. I think that we need to leave them alone, and I think that if they hiss at me, I can understand that, because I'm
they're assholes.
The problem. So am I. And here we are. So what do you have to say? Also, I love geese, and also I had this little epiphany with little friend cliques. We were all simultaneously, all three of us, going through some shit several months ago, and we were all kind of trying to get out of our people pleaser eras at the same time. And I was stuck at a goose crossing the street one day, and I was just hit by inspiration because I was like, you know, geese don't give a fuck. Like, you and your million, trillion, quadrillion ton car piloted by an apex predator, you're gonna have to fucking wait, because a gang of 20 geese is crossing the street and you don't want to hit them.
Is that what it's called? Is it a gang?
No, I believe it's a gaggle, but they're a gang. Come on. You've seen them. I mean, do you have many Canadian geese there?
I don't think so.
Oh, they're an utter menace here. Are you very familiar with them?
I mean, yeah, but okay. I've moved around a lot. I've been in a lot of locations, but I don't think I've really paid attention. We're kind of having, a mice problem now because of the sugar cane. But we're having a raccoon problem, Brianne.
That's not a problem. The only problem is that it's not happening here.
But geese, I haven't really seen any.
Well, I would say that I see probably 50 geese a day, maybe on a slow day. They congregate. They're villains. They're complete villains. They're absolute fucking menaces. And I respect it so much, because what are you going to do if 20 geese are crossing the street? You're going to stop.
Yeah.
If you're, I bet an ambulance would stop. I've always wondered this. Would an ambulance stop for geese?
Probably not.
I think they would. Because how often do you see like 20 geese run over in the road?
Well, here, none.
Well, I don't see that either. I very rarely even see one goose run over in the road. Anyway, we were all trying to leave our people pleaser eras at the time. And I made the point to them that maybe we should all be a little bit inspired by Canadian geese. And perhaps sometimes we should simply stand in the road until our needs are met. And we don't have to be the car stopping at all times. And our group chat has been Dead Serious Geese ever since, or, you know, some spin on that. And in the mornings, we say good morning to my beautiful geese.
So I love the whole that thing. So much.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. And yeah, that's the easiest. Geese are probably going to win this. Let's be real. Yeah. No problem. Fuck pants with no pockets. Fuck pants. I just like dresses. I don't even want to wear pants. If I lived in a different climate, I would not own any pants at all. I would own all dresses.
I mean, it gets cold in Indiana, right?
Yeah, that's why I have pants. I don't want to.
Oh, I never mind. I thought you meant like a colder climate, you would wear pants.
No, and I wear dresses and people are like, why are you so dressed up? And I'm like, because I'm neurodivergent, do you think pants are more comfortable than this? Are you kidding me? Yeah, no. Pants of any variety couldn't be much of anything for me. And geese could beat a lot. So this is probably one of the easiest pair-ups in bracket history.
It's a pants-off, dance-off. Geese win.
It's a pants-off, dance-off. Geese always win. You can't defeat a geese. A geese, a goose. Grammar can defeat this goose, but still.
You silly goose.
I am a dead serious goose.
Uh-huh.
There's no joking for this goose.
I have no idea what you're doing this week.
Dude, I didn't either. Okay, I love this topic so much. So I think that there was one other episode where I may have gotten some input from my daughter, Adelaide, who is almost 9. I think she had some sort of contributing role in the magic show disaster thing. I think maybe I picked the topic and she knew some or something like that. I don't know. But she is very much in her YouTube listicles era, you know, 10 scariest things in the ocean, 15 this, that kind of things. So I didn't really have anything in mind today. You know, we don't really have too much of a theme for November. And I don't know, it's just blank slate. And I'm sitting there with my kid and I'm like, Adelaide, what should I cover? What should I do this week? Because I'm thinking, you know, the listicles, she could have something. Immediately, she said recalled toys.
Oh, that's so good. And I was like, Adelaide,
we did haunted dolls last week. That's a perfect segue.
Yes. Oh my gosh. She's a genius.
Yes. So we are going to do a compilation. It is going to be at least a two-parter.
Okay.
I think it could be three. There have been a lot of messed up toys. I did keep it. I tried to keep it light until I didn't at all. Tried to keep it a little on the short side. But there's a lot. There's so many. Why do people, how does any of this stuff get on the shelves sometimes?
I don't know. They should recall those little, you know, those little balls. What are they called? They have little spikes on them and they get tangled in everyone's hair.
That's in this episode. Yes, they should, because they sure haven't. All right. Shall we?
Yeah, we shall.
All right. Have you owned any recalled toys that you know of in your own? You seem like you would have owned exclusively recalled toys. No disrespect.
No. I mean, we've had our fair share of instances with toys.
I mean, as a child, not a mother, to be clear. I don't mean that you seem like you'd only give your kids recalled toys. I mean the opposite. I mean, you seem like you grew up with a lot of guns disguised as toys kind of deals. Nature of the game.
Well, lucky for me, I grew up poor, so...
Well, that's the target audience, I think.
Lots of crayons. Lots of crayons for me.
Okay.
Homemade Play-Doh. I was a rubber cement girl. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know.
I don't know. Oh, like a huffer?
Oh, and an eater.
I don't think that's a thing.
I think it's a thing. Like the old school brown glass jar with the like tin metal cap with the brush, the like the plastic brush. Like I can
smell it. Sniffing it for sure. But and eating like paste might have been a thing. I don't know if that was a thing.
I ate the paste too. But the rubber cement, yeah, I'm almost, listen, I think it's a thing.
When do you feel like you started being willing to put literally anything on planet Earth into your mouth?
As soon as I could grab something.
Okay, because, yeah, you've told me a lot of stories, and there's a common theme, and it's all just anything. And I don't mean it like that.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, you would eat koala.
No, I wouldn't eat koala.
You said you would. I bet I can find the audio clip.
Oh, God, here we go. Okay, look, I'm Googling this.
Did Melanie Cruz say she would eat koala on Mark's Safe podcast? Yes.
Okay,
listen. I'm going to make us a Wikipedia page just to put that in it.
I Googled, did people eat rubber cement? And the first thing it says was swallowing or putting small amounts of rubber cement in your mouth is often harmless. Highlighted. Clearly, it's more than just me if it's saying.
I'm not sure I'd take that way. I don't know, Melanie. I don't know.
Severe damage to your brain, lungs, and kidneys can occur over time from repeatedly sniffing rubber cement. See, this is what's wrong with
me. I mean, your brain turned out great.
Same with
eating it. I don't know about your lungs or any of that, but your brain is a top-notch one.
Yeah. No, recall toys, not much, no.
Okay. I don't know that I had a whole lot either, but I sure learned a lot. So we are going to group two toys together for a first because they pretty much function the same way. And that is the Easy Bake Oven and Creepy Crawlers.
Oh, we got one of those here.
An Easy Bake Oven?
Mm-hmm. They've changed a lot.
They're less. I know. They're less problematic than you would think. There have been surprisingly few problems with, but not none. So Mattel's Creepy Crawlers dropped in 1964. It included plastic molds in the shape of bugs, a box called a Thing Maker that contained basically a hot plate that reached 390 degrees Fahrenheit, and multicolored tubes of something called plastic goop that had a very distinctive, very strong smell. And they produced about 50 bugs to a bottle. Nothing could go wrong with any of this. You squirt the plastic goop into the molds in the, you know, color pattern design of your choice. You put the mold into the little oven to cure. You remove the trays that popped out your rubbery, plasticky bugs to go prank your sister with. The concept, absolute hit, with a couple spinoffs throughout the 60s, including concepts like extra large creepy crawlies, sets aimed at girls, one with an elaborate system for creating your own green army men, sort of. Like, it was a whole thing. You could make them, and then you could put bendy wires in them, and then you could stand them up in styrofoam. It was a lot to do. One that made edible items, and then 1965's weird-ass creeple people, described by... described by Wikipedia as, quote, a five-mold set that formed strange heads, arms, and feet. When arranged into a pencil, they formed weird troll-like creatures.
Hmm.
None of those words go together to me. So across their various iterations, more than 5 million sets were sold, but there were issues. Unsurprisingly, the molds got hot as fuck. A lot of kids got burned. Mattel tried again in 1978, but those took an hour to cure a single bug. People were not into it. Mattel let their patent lapse, so a company called Toymax bought them back in 92, which is the version I remember from my childhood. This time they had a slew of safety features. One Toymax executive also noted that the burning plastic smell was actually a feature, not a bug. He said, "We took out the aroma, but it didn't sell, so we put it back. Now it smells the way it used to, and it's selling again.
Nostalgia.
Right? And honestly, that detail, I kind of love that so much. That's sort of why I even included the creepy crawlies, because, I mean, they burn kids. There's not a whole lot of story there.
We need that toxic plastic smell. Yes,
but I love the fact that they tried to make it safer, and people didn't like it.
And they're like, no, we'll just open a window.
Yeah, I wonder, did you ever smell them? I don't think I did.
No.
No, I never did. I don't know. Some things like gasoline that are not good smells do smell good. But one time I made this thing where you take a loom and you put see-through like pony beads in it in a pattern. And then you put it on the grill and it makes a really pretty sun catcher because they all melt together and it's see-through. It's beautiful. It's so fun. I made that like 5 years ago, and I can still smell it in the back of my nostrils to this day. I will never forget it. So I really would like to know, like, what kind of plastic smell are we talking here? Because at the same time, I could personally snort the smell of pool floaties, which are technically plastic.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I want to know more. Now, apparently, because of this episode, I want to smell plastic goop burning.
I bet we could find a vintage one on, like, eBay or something.
Oh, I'm sure we could. Yeah. It only sold so well, though, even with the plastic smell back. They were removed from the market in 96, only to be exhumed again in 2000 with a company stating that the overwhelming consumer demand for Creepy Crawlers products prompted us to reintroduce this classic toy. And I feel like overwhelming demand is a really bold choice of words there. Maybe someone wanted it, but like I'm picturing like the Harry Potter scene where they're trying to get in the letter and it's just like inundated through the windows and everything. Right. And I'm like, is that what it was like for you, Toy Max? Like, were you so besieged with requests for creepy crawlers that you had to acquiesce just so your children could live a normal life? Like, calm down. Details on the actual injuries caused were very hard to find. Surprisingly, that was the case for most of these, and I got a few deep, and I was like, great, we're not going to have to talk about dying kids. And then I got to the last one. Ugh. Yeah.
I have a feeling I know what it is.
Do you?
Maybe.
Make a guess.
Orbeez?
No, that's probably next week.
No, oh,
it's yikes. Jarts. Jarts. Ye old jarts. We'll get there. So details, yeah, they were hard to find, but I don't think that creepy crawlers were ever officially recalled. I think that they were just off and on discontinued, but the same cannot be said technically for their sister concept, the Easy Bake Oven, dropping in 1963, the year before creepy crawlers. So Easy Bake Oven, very similar concept. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. Little box with a heater that was capable of cooking things like tiny little cakes, very much still on the market. They come with packets that you mix with water, you make the foods, little pans to put them in. Basically the same concept of a mug cake in a microwave, only with like a convection oven type oven. Unlike creepy crawlers, Easy Bake Ovens seem to sort of go backwards in time as far as safety consciousness. Maybe we're just keeping better records. I don't know. The original version just used light bulbs for heat, but over time it evolved to a full-blown heating element, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that toy went through countless tweaks and redesigns over the years, but despite being a functional oven made for children, it did skate by without major incident for 40 years until a version released in 2006 did have a major problem. The pans, you slid them into this little slot in the front on like a long, I know there's a name for this, like those little sticks that you see people putting pizzas in an oven with, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, you put the stuff into the slot with that thing. But something about the design of this particular one made it really easy for kids to slide their hands in and not be able to retract them. So they started getting reports of that happening within months of this version's release. Hasbro's first move was offering a kit to use to modify the oven to make it safer. They basically could put this little grate over it that still let you get the thing into it somehow, but you couldn't get your hand into it, which I would like to see that. I couldn't find a picture of it. Can't picture how that would work, but apparently it theoretically did. In the 5 month period after the kit's release, the company received, this is after the kit's release, the fixing it kit, the company received 249 reports of children getting their hands stuck in the opening, including 16 second and third degree burns.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And a 5-year-old who was burned so badly, she lost part of her finger.
Fuck, that's terrible.
Right? And that is like worse than I would have originally pictured the problem to be, because it's not just burning kids. Their damn hand is trapped in place while it burns. Oh my God. So the injuries caused by the ovens were too common, and the retrofit kits, I guess, just weren't implemented enough. The finger amputation was kind of a big deal for Hasbro, I guess. So they issued a recall of about 1 million ovens in 2007, stating that, quote, young children can insert their hands into the oven's front opening and get their hands or fingers caught, posing entrapment and burn hazards. Despite the recall, the Easy Bake Oven, that particular Easy Bake Oven's reign of terror was not over, because 6 years later, a 5-year-old girl named Sophia Justice got her hand caught in a recalled oven that her mom had bought used, and she spent 3 hours in the ER with firefighters trying to free her.
Oh my gosh.
Unlike the girl who lost part of her finger, Sophia was fine, but it is definitely, especially with holidays coming up, a good reminder to check recalls on used toys. I think that most stores theoretically do, like Once Upon a Child type stores are supposed to, but it really can't hurt to double check. So a disproportionate number of these do seem to be from my childhood specifically. I don't know what we were up to in the 90s, but nothing good, I guess. Next ones are no exception.
But you survived. You're fine.
I did. Okay, boomer. 1992's moon shoes.
Oh, God.
Do you remember those?
I remember the moon shoes.
I never had any, but I do remember them existing. Their predecessor was born in the 50s, when we seemed to have all the good toy ideas, but no idea how to make anything at all out of anything but metal. And those moon shoes were no exception. So that was maybe not it. 1992's kids were completely hyped up on Nickelodeon and ready to fucking bounce. So the time was perfect for a plastic revival, which, to be fair, was probably better than the original.
Yeah.
According to a screenshot article, quote, also known as pogo shoes, anti-gravity boots, and ankle annihilators. Moon shoes are kid-powered mini trampolines for your feet. Yes, you read that right. They simulate the experience of jumping on a regular trampoline or, with some imagination, the low gravity environment of the moon. End quote. This version had a pair of shoe type deals positioned over a web of bungee straps, which were basically wrapped around a foot shaped bucket, allowing the shoes to drop down into it and then spring back up. Weirdly, they took half an hour to assemble. They seemed to me like they probably could have come put together, but the company did not agree. They were marketed as
the IKEA for kids' shoes.
Right? You had to like wrap the rubber bands yourself. So they were marketed as obviously a fun-ass way to bounce, but also sort of a tool for ADHD and SPD for the proprioceptive input, fidgety function, which honestly I think is sort of legit.
Right.
Were it not for the 100-pound limit, no, it's not 100. Were it not for the 130-pound limit, I will be honest, I would strap on a pair today. I would do it. I would break my ankle, because I can break my ankle stepping off of a curb. But I would do it, and I would not regret it, maybe. I have very questionable judgment. So kids were told not to do dumb shit like jump on their beds in moon shoes or generally act like a hooligan in moon shoes. But the kids in the ads were like, you know, in Barbie when Ken gets just like thrown end over end across the beach.
Right. Yeah.
That was basically what the kids in the ads were doing. So it was kind of a lost cause. Like an alarming number of toys in this episode, moon shoes were never entirely recalled, despite causing tons of injuries, ranging from skinned knees to knocked out teeth to ankle injuries. Getting hurt with them was just so ubiquitous, it was expected. Like, these were the action park of 90s toys. Grunge says, quote, in one 2009 YouTube video, a kid tests them out for 20 seconds before his ankle flops unnervingly to the side and a small ow escapes him. Yeah, they can still be purchased at Target for $29.99.
For the low price of $30.
plus your ER copay.
Exactly.
They are inexplicably on every dangerous recalled toys list. I would argue that sometimes toy companies are just kind of like, yeah, that's what it's for. It's functioning as designed.
Right.
Because, like, of course you're going to get hurt in moon shoes.
Listen, so Ava broke her hand playing Foursquare.
I mean, you have to live your life to an extent.
You know, the simplest things can take you out.
They can and will. So the original moon shoes were banned, but the ones in circulation are the same damn thing. So next one is alarming because as a parent, honestly, a lot of these are kind of obvious death traps that we just looked at and said, well, somebody probably tested it. And my kid just jumped off the top of the refrigerator anyway. So I guess YOLO.
Right.
Like, you know, you're wrapping it on Christmas Eve and you're like, I'm just wrapping myself an ER trip. That's what's happening here. But this wasn't one of those. And that stresses me out because this would never have occurred to me. It sure would now, though. So in the mid-2000s, a toy called CSI Fingerprint Examination Toy Kit hit the market.
What? That sounds cool.
Right? Yeah. It was branded off of the actual CSI show. I definitely remember around, like, my kind of late childhood, there being a lot of, like, forensic kind of toy kits, because kids were just getting interested in that, which is kind of horrifying if you think about it. But I definitely remember that being a thing in the early to mid-2000s. So this was just a simple little fingerprint dusting kit for little Gen Z detectives. And then in 2007... an asbestos watchdog agency tested 250 products in stores. I don't know if they were just randomly selected, if there was a process for selecting particular things, but the powder in the kit was tested in three labs and shown to not only contain very high levels of asbestos, but tremolite, which is one of the worst kinds of asbestos.
Right.
So 6 out of 8 tests of the powder showed the same thing. So the company found out and immediately pulled it.
Well, yeah, because the first thing you're going to do is stick your fingers in your mouth.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, they would pull it, right?
Right.
Right.
They surely. Like, are you telling me they didn't?
I'm telling you that this is the kind of asbestos that is deadly enough for one exposure to lead to cancer or mesothelioma later in life. This is not a cumulative thing, or it's not a fluke thing, or it's not a maybe couldn't be great thing. It's one time, and it's not good in a while. So swift action was definitely taken. And my notes actually say, ha ha ha, JK. it was actually months before the company Planet Toys finally issued a recall, and they did argue about it first. Connecticut and a handful of retailers had already banned the kit, but most consumers had absolutely no idea. The Consumer Protection Commissioner, who was Jerry Falwell Jr., said very dramatically, "With the success of crime shows like CSI, it's no surprise that kids want to get in on the excitement of pretending to be crime scene investigators. But our own investigation of the CSI fingerprint examination kit identified a real-life culprit that must be promptly eliminated."
Oh,
like, you're not wrong, but also calm down. So Jerry himself contacted the Department of Public Health to report what he had read after just nixing it in Connecticut. But the company was like, nuh-uh, we did our own test and it was fine. And
you know, those kept selling tests.
Yeah, in independent labs. Yeah. They're completely fine. There's no concern there.
Take our word for it.
Honor system. Scouts honor, even.
Yes.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I'm just kind of like, what incentive would an asbestos testing group have to make you pull a product for no reason? Like, they're not making money because you're not.
Right.
They're not benefiting from your loss. So why would they even single you out? So the executive director of the asbestos testing group said, "We were aghast to find asbestos in a children's toy. Even though the dangers of asbestos have been well documented for more than 100 years, we are still finding asbestos in common household products, and that is simply unacceptable." So company resisted it, kept selling it for quite a while, but eventually issued a recall. Company went out of business entirely filed bankruptcy, and there was a class action lawsuit, but the company itself couldn't really be named because they'd filed bankruptcy. So there was a class action lawsuit, a lot of articles in 2009 about a proposed settlement for people who had bought or even been given a set, but
if you or a loved one have been affected by this, right? CSI.
Oh my God, seriously, that's probably a real thing.
Yeah,
I couldn't really find anything on whether that class action lawsuit had come to fruition. I hope it did. I don't know. So I did want to make a catch-all section for things that didn't really warrant their own story, but nonetheless had to be mentioned just because it was very clear that whoever invented them had never had children, never met a child, never been a child. Prime suspect for this, fucking Bunchums. Fucking Bunchums.
Fucking
little
Bunchums.
Balls covered with hooks. Like oversized Velcro attachments. But do you know that Velcro was invented because a guy pulled some burrs out of his dog's coat, put them under a microscope, and realized nature was kind of cool, so he invented Velcro?
I did not know that.
That is true. Velcro was invented because of burrs. Well, Bunchums are basically colorful plastic burrs. They're mm-hmm. the same size and shape and overall appearance. So it should surprise absolutely fucking no one that they get stuck in kids' hair. Like, oh my God.
You just look at them funny and they're in your hair.
I mean, that's what they were designed by nature to do. You were supposed to bunch a bunch of them together to form little animals or sculptures or whatever weird creation kids come up with. But this shit could not have spent a single day in research and development. Manufacturer put a warning on the box to keep it away from hair, but bro, the packaging is marketed to girls. So yes. Even if they didn't put them in their hair intentionally, which I'm sure plenty of them did, a lot of little girls have long hair that just gets everywhere in their face while they're playing. A lot of kids fall asleep near their toys. There are some pictures online that will give you the same feeling that you get when you just organized all your kids' toys and you hear a whole box of Legos getting dumped on the floor.
Been
like
there.
The same feeling you get when you find just a Sharpie cap and your toddler's quiet.
Or that bag of glitter. Remember that?
Oh, God. Glittergate 2020.
Yep.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Have we talked about Glittergate 2020?
I think we have, but just in case.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we've got a lot of new listeners. Lord. When Adelaide was 5 and her foster sister at the time was 4, they had a playroom. And they, God bless it. I'm not okay still. I had a friend who had owned an indie nail polish company for a long time, which is extremely cool. Would have been my disaster relief every week if that was still a thing. But she had an inordinate amount of novelty glitter, just weird glitters, all shapes, all colors, all sizes. And she gave it to me. Some of it was gallon-sized Ziplocs of glitter.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was like a gallon full of smaller Ziplocs of different glitters. But I mean, all in all, I would say we're talking probably 6 gallons of glitter. And I can't even say this was a rookie move because I was not a rookie parent at that point, really. They had a playroom. They were allowed to play in it if they woke up before me. And I had a box of craft shit, which included about 6 gallons of glitter, in a box in the top of the closet because, I mean, it was designed to be a bedroom.
I thought it was in the top.
It was. It was in the top. It was in the back. It was behind some shit. Honestly, to this day, I'm not completely sure how they got to it, but they did. They did. And they'd had this playroom for quite a while. This was not a brand new thing. This had gone off without a hitch forever. And they knew that the entire closet was completely off limits because it was just, it was not for them. It was storage, basically. And I had my ultra messy top secret craft supplies super, super hidden. I wake up one morning, you all know where this is going. I go into the playroom and I find 2 little girls living their best lives because they did not yet know that they were caught because they were so enraptured with their mischief when I opened the door and I found that they had dumped every single one of those bags on the floor in their entirety and were jumping in it like a leaf pile. They made glitter angels on their backs. So imagine their hair.
It was everywhere.
Everybody I knew saw a picture of it once it was already half cleaned up.
Yeah.
Nobody saw it. No. Oh, it exists now only in my memory. I did just give him like a minute before I said that I was there, and I didn't come down on them too hard because, like, how often do you get the experience of jumping up and down in 6 gallons of glitter?
Never.
As a 5-year-old girl. Like, I don't really actually want to make that like a core memory of the worst trouble they ever got in. the trouble was not that extensive. It never happened again, but oh my God, never forget.
Just
never forget.
And it's glitter, so it won't let you. You will find it forever.
Yeah, I don't live there anymore, but I'm sure whoever does finds it forever. I'm rubbing my forehead so hard right now just remembering that. So, anyway, yes, there are pictures of kids' hair so absolutely, completely jam-packed with Bunchams. It will give you the same feeling of Glittergate 2020. And that's saying a lot. There's a wiki page solely dedicated to how to get Bunchams out of hair.
How?
And they,
how I do you?
I don't know. Probably oil. That's how you get burrs out of hair. They are still very much available if you hate yourself. I don't. Less available is the Austin Magic Pistol, which was a 1940s toy that was just a flamethrower. That's all it was. It was a flamethrower. The World of Replica Air Pistols website wrote up a piece on it and said, "The Austin Magic Pistol provided hours of harmless fun for children and gave them the opportunity to meet lots of interesting people, like firefighters, paramedics, and plastic surgeons." It leveraged the reaction between water and calcium carbide to create explosions that launched ping pong balls. It basically just shot fireballs.
Yeah.
And although, yeah, there was a recommended amount of calcium carbide to use to create a modestly sized fireball.
And we just did an episode about how flammable ping pong balls are.
Yeah, that's an odd transition, isn't it? There was a recommended amount to use, but if you were like a little kid in the 1940s, you could use however much you wanted if you just wanted a bigger explosion. Nothing stopping you. The gun retailed for $249, which would be about $33 now, and the ads breathlessly promised that the balls would travel 100 feet with an up to 8-foot flame behind it.
Oh.
But, quote, "makes almost as much noise without the ball when shot into the palm of hand, right above the large word, harmless, in all caps."
Oh, no.
The toy ad doth protest too much. It was not harmless. I don't even know specifically what happened, but you can imagine. There's not really one specific story to point to on that one, but it was pulled immediately. And it is now a highly sought after collector's item. So, this last one for today truly sucks. Truly sucks. I buried it under a lot of lighter stuff, a lot of more vague injuries occurred kind of stuff. I wanted to keep this lighter, but you do an episode on recalled toys, you're going to run into some really bad shit eventually. And we ran into Jarts, which was a name given to lawn darts, but it does sound like it means farting in your jeans to me.
Your jeans with no pockets.
Yes. When you fart in there, it's called jart. So the premise, yeah, get your giggles in now. Premise is very simple. You got 4 big ass foot-long darts with weighted metal tips. 2 targets. You throw them at the targets, which are typically rings, and getting the dart to embed in the ground within the ring is scoring. So it's meant to pierce earth, which is not
great.
No.
You're just aerating your lawn.
Yeah, that's all. The darts are pretty big and pretty heavy, so the potential for catastrophe here was pretty obvious. There were a lot of injuries, like a lot. So the FDA officially designated them a mechanical hazard as far back as 1970. They let them stay in circulation as long as they had warning labels advising parents of the risk of serious injury to kids or animals if used in their company, and they weren't sold in toy stores or toy departments. But there were so many exploitable loopholes here. There were so many exploitable loopholes, like lawn game sets. Please check your content warnings. If I had read this content warning, I would not have... I would skip this part, personally, but it's just kind of my own personal thing. So do check those. A lot of exploitable loopholes, including lawn game sets, like the one that Vietnam veteran and aerospace production supervisor David and his wife, stay-at-home mom Linda, bought in the mid-80s and tucked away in their garage for a fun day with their kids sometime. 7-year-old Michelle and their 9-year-old son. David didn't even know that his family owned the lawn darts. He didn't know that he shouldn't own the lawn darts. He didn't know that lawn darts had been the reason for 5,000 ER visits for kids in the last decade, despite attempts to regulate them. He would not find out most of that until the unimaginable had happened. And this is so hard. I'm probably going to cry saying this. A friend of Michelle's brother was visiting the house and threw a lawn dart, hitting Michelle while she played with her dolls. She ran to her dad and collapsed in his arms died from a skull fracture.
That's rough.
I included this for a reason, and I will get to that in a moment. I really went back and forth on whether to include the details that just kind of rip your heart in half on that one, because is it necessary? Is it vulture-y? Is it gratuitous? Do I even want to say it out loud? Not really. But I really thought about that and decided what to include for a reason. We will get to that. So Michelle's dad, David, took on reform as his cause that gave him any reason to get up in the morning with a single-minded determination to the exclusion of everything else.
Right. And his that's usually the way it goes.
Yes. His finances, his sleep, his mental health, even his other kid. At first, he expected a ban on lawn darts to be an easy sell, but it wasn't. The argument was that they were already not supposed to be used around kids, and tragedies that result from them being improperly used was not a reason to ban them. David said it didn't matter. Those regulations were so widely ignored and workarounds were so easily found, they might as well not even exist. The package they bought included lawn darts mixed in with less dangerous games with a barely noticeable warning label. It was not somebody thinking about it and intentionally disregarding a warning. The warning was so subtle and applicable to so many things in that container, he missed it entirely, and anybody could. There but for the grace of God go I. Even when he did find a sympathetic audience, the legal process to lobby for change and get votes from the people in charge moved at a glacial speed, and the votes often did not turn out in his favor, and David felt an incredible sense of urgency. As Michelle's 8th birthday approached, he wanted to get this done for her before then. And also, probably more importantly, he wanted to change things before spring came and a whole new round of people brought the toy into their homes.
Right, exactly.
So he took this on with single-minded evangelical focus. Think of like the bereaved parent on a mission montage trope in a movie. This was that. He spent $12,000 fighting for lawn darts to be banned, which would be $32,000 in today's money. And his family was middle class. They were single-income, middle-class family. This guy was calling lobbyists from payphones in spare minutes because he'd memorized their phone numbers.
Oh, wow.
So he's just like, let me go make a call real quick. I mean, this guy was relentless. Absolutely relentless. He hated every second of it. He said about Washington, that's the thing about this crazy place. Everybody's worried about protocol, stepping on toes. Doesn't anybody care? I wouldn't last 5 minutes in this place. I'd probably hit somebody in the mouth. Respectable.
Yeah.
He fought like hell. No, it hasn't. He fought like hell. He made the point that it was unacceptable to count on manufacturers and stores to make the right decision based on an honor system when they already weren't. He absolutely refused to negotiate or concede a single inch on anything. He would not play the game. They weren't safe. They were killing kids. They'd killed his. They needed banned at the end. The incredible article in LA Times that I got most of the story from said, "No two worlds could be further apart than a grieving, exhausted father wanting instant justice and a regulatory body administered by people philosophically opposed to hamstringing the free market. No middle ground existed." David said, "Nobody knows what it's like who hasn't lost a child. I wake up miserable. I go to bed miserable. And it's going to happen to other people unless we do something. I'm here with my February house payment. That bought my airline ticket. I've spent $12,000 on this. My wife doesn't work. I only make $30,000 a year. I work for people who are ready to can me. Sometimes I hate the world we live in."
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was a long, utterly grueling journey. But his efforts led to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission fully banning lawn darts in December of 1988. But not before a lawn dart put an 11-year-old girl in a coma the same week it was voted on, as he was saying, "You have to stop before this happens again."
Wow.
Yeah. So it is illegal to even sell used lawn darts now, but the CPSC still has to issue a reminder about it sometimes, like when a 7-year-old girl suffered an injury very similar to Michelle's that she did survive, but it was from an older lawn dart set, so it wasn't like they just bought it. They weren't aware. And I wanted to include this one because I think that we've talked about this before, but I think that survivorship bias is very, very easy to fall into.
Right.
And I don't want there to be an inch for, and I know this is not the kind of listeners we have overall, but I don't want there to be an inch for anybody to say, "Well, I survived. I guess we're made of tougher stuff."
Right.
No. And I know, again, that's not the kind of listeners that we have, but there's always somebody, and I don't want to contribute to that. And I think that if we are talking about something like that, it needs, we don't always have the information on the injuries. We don't always have the information on what led to the recalls. And I think that that leads to people being way too cavalier about it.
Well, companies aren't going to give you like a full disclosure.
They're not. And families don't always want to talk about it in the media, and I don't blame them. And a lot of this happened a long time ago. So I can't always find a personal story on somebody, and I don't ever want to veer anywhere close to that, "Well, we survived" thing, because some kids didn't. And that's why recalls happened. Michelle didn't. Her family will suffer for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And I think that if we're going to talk about this kind of thing, we need to be responsible for, you know, giving that the proper gravity.
It's crazy to think, because she was almost turning 8. I think she would be my age. If it was banned in 8, I was 8 in 88.
Yeah.
It's really crazy to think about.
She would have been almost exactly your age. And I just, that, the detail that she collapsed in her dad's arms just fucking killed me. And for every one of the, not everyone, because some didn't lead to a death, but for every one of these where it's like, three kids died, but you don't know anything about it, there's a family living with a detail like that in their head.
Right.
And I just can't be casual about it. So I wanted to have that one in there. I got kind of into it, and I was talking to my girlfriend when I was researching this, and I'm like, I don't know how much I want to say. I don't know how detailed I want to get with this, because it's so upsetting. And
right.
I don't know. I thought about it. That's the logic. There we are. So that story is definitely where I will leave it today, because I can't after that one.
I really, really appreciate earlier how you were saying, you know, especially with the holiday seasons coming up, just to do research on used toys, because we do used toys here too.
Yeah.
Wow. That was really good, Brianne.
Thank you. We need some disaster relief, though.
Hell yeah, we do.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. I'll keep it with the kids theme. We've been going through it, obviously, the last month with the illnesses and the injuries. So we were looking, we're kind of movied out. I feel like we've watched all of them. So we we had never really watched like a Disney series before. And so we started watching Villains of Valley View. Listen, it's corny as hell. Like the jokes are ridiculous. But we lay in the room. We've been watching one or two a night. We've been binging the series. It's so silly. It's basically these villains that go into hiding and they have to like be a normal family.
Oh.
And it's really cute. And I just, the silly jokes and hearing my kids laugh when they're like sick as shit has just really been a highlight. And I caught myself like wanting to watch an episode the other day, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't cheat my kids out of that, you know? Like, so that's mine. Silly Disney series. If anybody has any other good ones that we should watch next, let me know, because I think this is going to be, we're kind of at that age. So yeah, I will take any suggestions for series.
You're so wholesome.
What's yours? So Miss Wholesome.
I'm going to say dog sitting. So my dog died 23 months ago, but who's counting? My girlfriend's dog died like 7 months ago. We don't have a dog because we don't live together quite yet. We're getting there, but we don't like all the way live together quite yet. And we're kind of doing that first. So we don't have a dog that's like our dog, and we really need one because we're ridiculous. Like we're going to dog parks with no dog. It's bad. We go to Uncle Bill's across the state.
I wonder if people think you're creepy.
Oh, I'm sure. But at the same time, you only know if you see us walk in without the dog. Once we're in there, you don't know if my dog's just over there. So, you know, mind your business. Anyway. you know, we're going to pet stores, not supporting pet stores by any means, but, you know, puppies still need hugs. And so do we. So we're going to pet stores. We're petting dogs. It's ridiculous. We managed to land two back-to-back dog sitting gigs, and we're thinking about starting a Lonely Dogless Lesbians pet sitting service now so we can just lease dogs. because, wow, we needed this. Yeah, we had a very cute Cheweenie named Boots for a while, and now we have, I believe, a schnoodle named Stella. And she's here for 2 weeks and is adding a lot to my life. And as I was thinking, what should I do for disaster relief this week? I looked over at Stella and she's snoozing on the bed. She's so cute. So we gotta figure out our dog thing soon so we can quit being weird.
Or you got a new side gig. That's cool.
Right? Like, that's kind of what we're like. We're like, well, I mean, we could just do this for a hot minute. Yeah.
I love
that.
So
dog sitting. Lonely Lesbians dog sitting. That's our new business.
I do vote you two need a dog.
We're working on it. There's a plan in the works.
You would be the best dog parents ever.
Yeah. Well, I think that people definitely are a fan of the fact that we are nice enough to dogs and we love dogs enough that we should have one. It's borderline weird that we don't. But we don't have any other dogs in the house to upset their dogs. So it's like this, we're fully set up for a dog. We're just being weird. So give us your dog. Are we going to take it to Rural King and buy it new toys? Yes. Is it going to come home in a new hoodie? Absolutely. Can you sleep in bed with us? 100%. Is it going to the dog park? If its owner is okay with that and it's that kind of dog. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like we're so extra. We're a stereotype, a whole stereotype. At least it's not cats.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real stereotype. So, yeah. we're definitely doing the luxury dog sitting experience for the dogs of Indiana right now. So we've got a local listener's look. You going anywhere? You got a dog? We can work something out.
Let her know.
Yeah, let me know. I will dog sit your dog. Yeah. So there's mine.
Well, that was amazing. It's always so good hearing your compilations. They're my favorite.
Well, you're in luck because there's more coming.
Well, I guess until next time, sweet dreams or no dreams.
Sweet dreams or no dreams.
Hey, Horrible Ghouls. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you would like to share your personal MarkSafe moment, you can send it to us at MarkSafePodcast@gmail.com. Please give our podcast a rate, review, and subscribe, and tell your buddies about us too. That goes a long way. If you want to further elevate your support, check out our MarkSafe Patreon page, where we have shoutouts, goodies, and some bonus content in the works. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again, and as always, stay safe.